Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we welcome you to this edition of Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Albom. I'm the author of the book Tuesdays with Maury, which inspired this podcast and continues to inspire it even 25 years after its publication. Lisa Goetz, my friend and producer of this program, is alongside. Lisa, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Mitch. And may I say it, since this is the morning of, happy birthday, Mitch Albom.
Thank you very much. Today is actually my birthday. We're recording this podcast on my birthday. And I have a tradition on my birthday, which normally we do on the birthday itself, except we had to move it this year because of some travel. So we moved it back a couple of days. So it's actually, if I've completed it already, but on my birthday, I think I may have mentioned this in a previous podcast, I eat, along with my friends and family, every possible thing that I can eat that's bad for me that I don't eat all year round. So the other 364 days a year, I'm very disciplined. I don't generally dive into fried foods or heavy desserts or crazy chocolates, dairy things, milkshakes, ice cream, all of the stuff I loved as a kid, but can no longer reason as an adult. But once a year on my birthday, and I don't know, we started this probably 15 years ago, my friends and my family, and of course my wife, we get together, and it's different casts every year. Sometimes it's smaller, sometimes it's larger, but it's always around 20 people at least, and it was this time too. And we pick a city, and we head for that city, and we just try to eat all the junkiest but best food from that city. So we've gone to Boston and Philadelphia and New York, Pittsburgh, Chicago, of course, Detroit, Grand Rapids, Cleveland. And we try to drive to the places. Sometimes we end up flying. We stay longer, but we try to drive, take a bus and everything. And so this time we went for Columbus, Ohio, capital of the state of Ohio, and the belly of the beast for the Ohio State Buckeyes, which is our arch rival.
Yeah, that's true.
We decided, in the spirit of trying to get along better with people, we would we would go to Buckeye Land, and I have to say it was great. And we ate just nonstop. It always begins with a bowl of Cocoa Puffs, the kind of thing that I would never eat the other 364 days a year, but have Cocoa Puffs with chocolate milk. And that basically, your day is shot by the minute you start off with that. And so you go, oh, what the hell? And we just eat everything else. And I mean, we literally went from a pancake house to a French Lebanese bakery to the best fried chicken supposedly in Columbus, to the best pizza supposedly in Columbus, best pasta, best milkshakes, best
nice.
Ice cream. There's a place that makes ice cream sandwiches where they just make them out of cookies. So you pick your cookies and you pick your ice cream, and then they put them together as a sandwich. And fantastic. Oh my gosh. And
that's
popcorn.
A lot of sweets.
And, yeah.
Before noon.
Yeah. Well, we didn't do all that before noon, okay. But we did it by the end of the day. And pizzas and pastas and hamburgers and all the kind of stuff that's bad for you.
I have a question really quick. I have always wondered this. Do you eat all of this or do you sample?
You try not to finish any portion because it wouldn't make sense. You couldn't eat a whole lunch and a whole dinner and a whole another lunch and a whole another dinner and a whole the breakfast alone, you'd be ruined if you really ate.
Right.
But because we tried like a breakfast, we tried Oreo waffles, and banana pancakes and some kind of other thing and something else with whipped cream and omelets. And I mean, if you ate all of them, yeah, you wouldn't eat the rest of the day. You couldn't. So you have you have a third of
share.
One. And, yeah, you share. We pass it all around. The 20 people, everybody takes it. But it's not very good in the age of COVID. I hope none of us had it, because if so, we all have it. But it was fun, and it was a great tradition, and it was great to see family. And I know this is kind of convoluted, and you're saying, well, what does any of this have to do with what topic you're going to talk about today? But interestingly, there is a kind of circuitous route to it, because, of course, it makes me think about family. And they were all with me, and a lot of my nieces and nephews. And I was listening through the tapes of Maury and I earlier, and I came upon this little section, which I obviously never put in the book, and it was just an aside, but I came upon this, and I did a double take, because here I was talking about a couple of my nephews who at the time were 2 and 4 years old when I was talking to Maury, and now are both married and were, you know, on the trip.
Right.
And here is the little section that had to do with them. Let me play it for you, and then I'll talk to you about what it is that we can learn from this in today's sort of lesson of the podcast.
We had Janine's little nephews over the house last night, and they're 4 and 2. And we took them out, we played with them, we took them out to dinner, saw a movie, took them to a place to eat. You know, we've been talking with them and fooling with them the whole time. But when we got back to the house, because we had stayed so long at these things, I really had to get up and do some work. It was already 10 o'clock at night. So when we came into the garage, I kind of jumped out of the car, you know, Janine brought them in, and I kind of went up to my office.
Yeah.
And she put them to bed. You know, by the time I finished, they were asleep. And I came back, and I got into bed, and she said, "The kids think that you're mad at them." And I said, "Mad at them? We had, you know, 4 hours. All we were doing was playing." And I didn't say anything cross to them. I didn't, I didn't scold them. I didn't do anything. She said, "Well, you got out of the car so fast, they thought that you wanted to get away from them or something. You can come back, and they think that you're mad." And I had to tell them, "You're not." Never would have occurred to me. Never would have occurred to me. You
know? 2 and 4 year olds.
2 and 4 year olds. Yeah.
How early?
Yeah.
How sensitive? How tuned in they are?
Yeah.
At such an early age,
right.
To rejection.
Right.
Because rejection means you're saying myself is no good.
Right.
Now I had totally forgotten about that piece of conversation.
Wow.
And about that interaction. The two nephews in question there are now fully grown. One has a baby, and I'm happy to say that they are very much a part of our lives and very much a part of what I would call the circle of people who, I guess, for want of a better phrase, look up to me or ask me for advice. You know, I'm older now. And ironically, one of them, the older one, the four-year-old, who was sensitive to the fact that I had left the car so quickly and thought that I was mad at him, has now become a very, very successful lawyer. A budding young, you know, on the rise lawyer, and I am constantly talking to him about, make sure that you make time for this and this. You're working so hard and you're working so fast. I recognize myself in you, and don't miss out on this and don't miss out on that, et cetera, et cetera. And I look back and realize that I was that person in 1995 when I was having this conversation with Maury. I was that person that somebody needed to talk to about that very thing.
Mm.
And now he is that person who needs to be talked to. It's a little bit like Cats in the Cradle, the Harry Chapin
song. Right, yeah, it is.
The dad who doesn't have time for his son. And then finally, when the son grows up and he's so proud of him, he says, "Come on, sit down and we'll talk." He says, "No, just give me the car keys. I want to get going." And the son becomes the father. And so it got me thinking about how many sort of You know, there's a phrase that's going around right now, microaggressions.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not particularly crazy about how that's used because sometimes it's stuff that people literally, even if you explain it to them, they didn't realize that they hurt somebody's feelings or whatever. We're all a little perhaps oversensitive. And we all want to be in such safe spaces that we don't want to ever hear anything that hurts our feelings. And that's just not realistic. It's utopian, but it's not realistic in terms of the world. People are imperfect. People make mistakes. People are insensitive and people say things that are going to hurt your feelings sometimes. And so do you.
And right. So, and sometimes people don't, they're not intending to say something. So like microaggressions to me always makes it sound like it's intentional. But I think sometimes people just take things the wrong way and it's never was even intended to be that.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. I mean, if someone's favorite color is green and they like to wear green clothing and they're wearing green on a particular day and someone in the room says, you know, fashion wise, green is just not a very good color. It's not a microaggression.
No. Okay?
Even if someone might feel like, but I'm wearing green and green's my favorite color and therefore you said that and it made me uncomfortable. Well, then you got to get over it. You because that wasn't the intent and you're thinking about it a little bit too much. So, okay, but this was what I did that time with them when I jumped out of the car. I can see myself pulling up to the house and probably I was late to write a story or something like that for the newspaper. And so as soon as we pulled up to the house, I jumped out of the car without making sure that they got into the house, whatever. Janine was with them and she probably brought them in. And I ran in ahead of them and ran downstairs to do my work. That was, and not an aggression, but it was a micro hurt, shall we say? Maybe a better phrase would be a micro insensitivity. A micro insensitivity. Not macro. I wasn't saying you guys are the reason I'm going to be late on my work and why do I have to be with you? That's a macro aggression.
Yeah.
A macro insensitivity. But a micro insensitivity, a little thing that you do that has a lingering effect. And, you know, this was something that Maury became acutely aware of as he was dying. He became acutely aware of how he was coming across to people and how people were coming across to him. And again, it should not take us to reach our deathbed to suddenly realize that we need to be mindful of the little things that we do to one another. But I would suggest, Lisa, that the little things that we do to one another add up far more than the big ones and affect our relationships far more than the big ones. The big ones, if somebody really does something to hurt you or does something wrong and you have a good relationship with them, it'll become a thing that probably gets apologized for. It'll become a thing where the person says, you know, I lost my head last night. That was really wrong. I said something totally inappropriate. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I apologize. And okay, I get over it. He apologized. She apologized. We did it. We, you know, it's never good, but you get through it. But the micro insensitivities, the little things that we do that slowly, slowly, slowly add up, we don't tend to apologize for. We don't tend to recognize and say, oh, forgive me, I didn't mean to do it that way. And in fact, when they are brought up to us, we frequently end up saying, oh, I can't believe you're bothered by such a little thing. That's the little thing, that little thing bothers you so much. That's what's bothering you? How often have you had that conversation? That's what's bothering you?
A lot. I have that with my husband a lot. Little tiny things. He'll say that, I can't even believe that that's what you heard.
Right.
That's what you, like, you know, and I'm like, well, yeah, it kind of bothered me.
And that's the, but see, it's the cumulative effect of all those little things, those little pebbles that ultimately create like a rock field because we don't tend to apologize for them. We don't tend to recognize them. We don't realize that they're hurting people when we're doing it. And it's not big enough of a thing for them to say something to us.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The other person probably just blows it off, even though they take it personally, but they tend to blow it off because it's not that big of a deal, right? But then it piles on and piles on and
piles on. That's correct. As Maury said to me afterwards about this particular incident, you can make up for it by who you ultimately are. Listen to what he sort of concluded.
Your little departure was no big deal. Mm-hmm. They'll forget about it. You'll come and love them, and they'll know you're not mad at them, mm-hmm. so on. But if you did that every time you were with them, it could have an effect on
right.
them.
It stays with
especially on your relationship with them. Right. So that was a tremendous learning there.
So as you see, what Maury said there was, okay, they'll forget about it because it was a micro insensitivity and you'll make up for it and they'll know that you're not mad at them. But if you do that little micro insensitivity every time you're with them, it will have an effect.
We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So, what is our challenge here? Our challenge is to not let things between one another grow to a level that it becomes a macro insensitivity by virtue of the fact that it was 25 micro insensitivities. Our challenge is to recognize the micro insensitivity when we do it, the little things that we do that affect one another. It can be, Lisa, as small as when someone you love says something to you like they call your name, hey, Lisa. And you say, what? Like that. Just the way you say it. A little bit of an annoyed tone.
Ooh,
like you're busy.
That.
Yeah. Like you're busy and you're interrupting. What? Now, chances are your husband or your friend, they're not going to say, why do you have to say it like that? Mm-hmm. They're just going to say, it might be a pause, and then they'll say what they were going to ask you. But it hit them that way.
Yeah.
That little thing like, what? And in their mind, they're like, gosh, every time I ask her, she's just always sounds so annoyed.
I
was going to ask
everybody.
You where the peanut butter is. It's in the shelf, you know. But now the next time, hey, Lisa, what? And there's another little voice that says, gosh, every time I ask her, she's... And finally, there'll be a time where they'll say, hey, Lisa, and you'll go, what? And they'll go, what? What? Every time I ask you, you go, what? And you'll say, what? And they'll say, what? There you go again. And you'll say, what? What? What did I do? What? And it's just the way you say what. What? What am I? How do I say what? I just say what. No, you don't just say what. You say what? What? Oh, come on. I can't believe this little thing is making me. What? What? It becomes the what question.
But are you in my head? Because that happens every day here.
Well, the reason honestly, folks, we have not practiced this, okay?
No,
Lisa
I'm gonna
and I
feel,
had no idea we were going to talk about this particular thing.
I don't do this to you. I know that for a
no,
fact.
You don't do it to me. But
did
we
Teddy
don't...
call you?
Who have you been speaking to? No, the reason that I was pretty confident that you would recognize that is because it's pretty much true of everybody. We all have these little micro insensitivities, and we all have, if it wasn't that word, it would be something else or some other small thing. And they add up. And I know, for example, one that goes on between my wife and I is about being on time. And, you know, it's time to go. And I'll say, okay, we got to go. You know, it's 8:30. We're supposed to be there at 8:40. It's 8:30, you know, okay. You know, it's 8:30, you know, it's 8:35, you know, okay. You know, and it's those little things. It's never on one time. And I know that, you know, that time I might not say anything. The next time I might not say anything. But then four times later, after it's happened four straight times in a week, and I go, you know, and it turns into something. It turns into a, you know, not a major fight or anything, but it turns into a disagreement because it's not dealt with each time.
Yeah.
Maybe if, you know, each time it was acknowledged, like, I'm really sorry that I'm late. You know I keep doing this. You know, I'm sorry. Then it doesn't, you tamp it down because at least the person recognized it. So if, for example, with my two nephews, if I had immediately gone and apologized to them and said, hey, guys, you know, I jumped out of the car today and I had to get something done. I didn't realize that I probably came across. It probably came across as I was in a hurry. But it's not that my work is more important than you. You guys are the most important thing. Then I could have, right then and there, I could have eliminated it. It's
yeah.
Like getting rid of a cold before it takes full hold of you. You know, versus, oh, it was so small. Why do I have to apologize for it? You know, we'll get past it. And then, yes, you will get past that one. You might get past the second one or the third one or the fourth one. But by the sixth or seventh time that it happens, it will have turned into something else. So we need to be sensitive to the little breadcrumbs that we are leaving behind as we sort of walk through our lives here. The bitter ones as well as the sweet ones. And these little micro insensitivities in and of themselves, all by themselves, are nothing huge, but added together can end up having an effect on your relationship with people. And so we need to be sensitive, and therefore we need to be compassionate. Compassionate. This is the thing. Maury always spoke about being compassionate, and he said he learned his lessons about compassion early on in his career when he worked at a mental hospital. He was very very young and first starting out in his field. As part of his academic training, he worked at a mental hospital. He ended up writing a book about it. And there he saw not just people who had severe mental issues. It wasn't that. What affected Maury was how these people who had these mental issues were treated by the staff on a regular basis. Here he is talking about that.
The other part, the other side of it is you try to approach relationship with people in the most compassionate way you can. And that was one of the big things that was missing. People were willing to do their job, but I did not see or feel a lot of compassion. Now that may be that you start out with compassion and it gets exhausted after a while. Because to keep on generating it 8 hours a day is very difficult. The other big thing is to understand your unconscious is so important, because a lot of the things that were being done that were harmful were unconscious. They weren't deliberately unkind, avoiding this patient or ignoring that one, not talking to that one, or what have you. It was just an unconscious gesture. So to be aware of what you're doing and how you're feeling all the time.
How it affects people.
And how it affects people, absolutely. It's very, very important.
So here you see Maury talking about compassion and also talking about insensitivity and not knowing. So these people who worked in the mental hospital, they might walk past a patient without acknowledging them. And maybe just because they were tired, as he says, or that it's hard to do for 8 hours a day. But as he says, they weren't deliberately unkind, avoiding the patient or ignoring that one. But these patients needed to have attention paid to them. They needed to be acknowledged. That was something part of the condition they were there. Same way that little 2 and 4 year old nephew are sensitive enough to think that, oh, Uncle Mitch jumped out of the car and didn't like make sure we got out okay or something like that. That means that he's mad at us. Well, of course it didn't mean that I was mad at them, but that's how it hit them. And this is micro sensitivity that I'm talking about. It begins with compassion, as Maury spoke, and it manifests itself in understanding that what is small to you may still be large enough to someone else to matter.
Yep, I get that. Because it's stuff you don't even realize you're doing sometimes.
That's right.
Or maybe you realize you're doing it, but you're thinking, it's no big deal. It's fine. They'll get over it.
Well, how many times when you're at a gathering of really important people in your life, you know, really important business meeting, let's say, and you're all in a room, you say things like, you know, does anybody mind if I make a phone call?
Yeah.
And no, it's okay. Go ahead and do it. Or, hey, there's one donut left. I don't want to take the last donut, anybody. Does anybody want that last donut? Those little kinds of things that you sort of do because you don't want to make a bad impression on the really important people in your life. So you go out of your way. Did you want to sit in this chair? No, that's fine. Because, you know, I saw you where you had your hand on the chair. I didn't know, you know, you sit in that chair. Like going out of your way to address little small things that might make the other person feel comfortable. And you do it, why? Because you want the job, or you want your bosses to like you, or you want to make a good impression. But that level of sensitivity is really what we should aspire to put out there all the time. We shouldn't save it for when we're being overly nice and overly considerate because we want to make a good impression.
Especially to those closest to you.
Right. So I would not run out of the car if I was with important business associates and we pulled up someplace.
That would be funny, though.
Yeah, dash. Where'd Mitch go? I wouldn't
have
done it.
That would be pretty hilarious.
But looking back on it, it's true. I wouldn't have done it. But I did it with my little nephews. So the point is to sort of live in that level of sensitivity, that level of consideration that you would do for strangers, but with the people who matter to you the most. If you treat them as well and as considerately as you would if you were trying to make a good impression on them, chances are you won't have any of these micro insensitivities because you'll have already addressed them. So that's what I learned from just perusing through these tapes and coming upon that. It's fascinating to look back on an audio recording. And that's why I so cherish these tapes and more and more as I get older, because this was a snapshot of who I was and who Maury was 27 years ago. And
yeah.
If you had asked me, did you remember having a conversation like that with Maury? No, I don't really remember that. Why? Because it didn't stand out in my mind. I remembered other things, but that one didn't stand out for whatever reason. But then you go back and you listen to it. You hear your own voice fessing up to something and hearing about it. And then you realize, wow, why didn't that matter to me more then?
Yeah.
And now I listen to it and I'm so glad I got a chance to hear that. And so ironic because, like I say, one of those two nephews, I am constantly telling him that very thing.
That's so funny.
I'm constantly saying to him, be sensitive. You know, you're busy, you're a lawyer, you always get called in for work all the time, and you got to be sensitive to your wife and your family and that they're going to need you around, and can't always say that work matters, work matters. Now I should say to him, by the way, you have the right to say to me, oh yeah, what about when I was 4 years old and you jumped out of the car?
That scarred me for life, Mitch.
Don't you remember that? I'm going to ask him if he remembers that now.
He might not remember, but now whenever anybody gets out of a car, he gets real twitchy.
Well, it was
put two and two together.
It was a good lesson about the little things, the micro insensitivities that we commit every day. And if we can just sort of live at that level of consideration and compassion to think about them in advance, we won't get into that what?
Yeah.
No, what? I said what? The what conversation. So just a little something on a birthday, a reflective looking back that hopefully is of some use in your daily life. So thank you to all of you who've already sent me nice little birthday messages. Appreciate getting 1 year older and being upright.
That's good. That's a
upright
good sign.
Upright is good. And we will look forward to speaking to you again. So on behalf of my producer, Lisa Goich, who reminds you that WeTuesdayPeople.com is our website, and you can find all of our previous conversations and shows and topics and chats and things like that there. Did I do that well, Lisa? I took the words out of your mouth.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect, Mitch. You do it very well.
Well, on behalf of Lisa and myself, Mitch Albom here saying, see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday People.